Did you catch Jeff's groove going on in that one? You know, there's that phenomenon, and you guys create it when you're together, called flow, where you're totally in the moment, and you can feel each other and know each other and all that without having the unspoken communication. And yeah, I know. But you guys participate in that. Oh, my goodness. I have to tell you. Anyway, thank you very much for your groove, all of you. Okay. Speaker's not on. We got a speaker out over here? Okay. Just checking. I had a dream while I was gone the last couple of weeks that I'd been gone for like months, because that's what it felt like. And I stood up here and I looked out at you and I saw all your beautiful faces, and I just breathed this big sigh of happiness and joy and gratitude. So you're making the dream come true right now, and I'm so glad to see you. It's good to be back. I have this talk that I've written here, and then I have another talk. So it can happen, you know, anywhere on 150. It can happen coming over the little bridge. So that shift can occur. So the talk is called Old Principles, New Year. And that sounds kind of funny, Old Principles, New Year. But the principles that we teach here at Unity, the principles that we teach in New Thought in general, are very fluid. They're paradoxical because they're fluid and they're concrete at the same time. And the fluidity comes because we are different people every day that we wake up. We have something new that has shaped us, maybe something in our subconscious, in our sleep, in our dreams. Maybe the events of the day before have begun to make more sense to us. Maybe we have a better understanding. Maybe something happened the day before that we haven't been able to incorporate until we've had a night's sleep. So every day that we wake up, we're a new person. So that gives us an opportunity to apply old principles to our new day, to our new selves, to our new life. It's a good thing for us to practice that, and you've heard me say this before. We practice it during our good days so that when our bad days happen, we have something already operating within us that can turn on automatically. Thank goodness. Because when we're in the midst of stuff that's not very pleasant, we don't have all those happy, happy, joy, joy thoughts, do we? That's not the first thing that comes to our mind. Because we're human beings. We're living here in a solid material world. And we're living with events and circumstances that can surprise us, can make us grieve, that can throw us a curveball. And yippee, isn't that fun? Because we would not be really living if that were not the case. If we're not experiencing the full range of life, then we're not really living. And there's no way, as a matter of fact, it's detrimental to us to try to put up some kind of barrier, even a God barrier, that keeps us from experiencing life. You know, we're really smart rats. We can do that. We can put up our God talk and our God stuff around us to try to insulate ourselves, and that's just a delusion, because life is going to happen. So the principles that we teach and the principles that we try to live are the things that take us through those days that are difficult. So usually when the year transitions from one to another. And this time it transitioned from a decade to a decade. There seems to be a disturbance in the force. And I've experienced over the many years that I've been a minister, a lot of people make their transition out of this life at that turning of the year. And I can't say why that is, except that there is something deep. I have to imagine that there's something deep that says, I'm finished, and I will go. And I will start this new year on earth with a new year elsewhere, a new year beyond. And so we've had a season of joy and a season of sorrow. We've had losses in this community that have been heartbreaking and unexpected. And so it would be silly for us to think that we can make all that go away by just speaking some kind of affirmative truth. Because the truth is, God is in everything. God is in every single thing. And one of the principles that we teach and say every Sunday is there's only one presence and one power active in the universe and in my life, God the good, omnipotent. The truth is, God's even more than that. So you will hear me use the word God because it's a simple three-letter word that defines a whole lot of undefinable. But I'm using it for the sake of brevity. I'm going to say God, or I'll say Spirit. So if there's only one presence and one power, then everything is God. Now I want you to think about that for a moment, and I want you to think of all the things that popped into your mind that you might say, well, that wasn't. Because either God is everything or God isn't. It's not like God is in this thing right here, but not in this thing. That means that we have to come to reconciliation with the sometimes unreconcilable. Yes? It means that we have to breathe deeply into the unexpected. Either God is everywhere present all the time, or God isn't. The other part of that is that there's not another equal and opposite being that's out there vying for our souls. So in our Wednesday night class, somebody said, well, what do we believe about Satan, about the devil? What do we believe about that? Do we believe in Satan? And I said, the answer to that is no. Now, if you're surprised by that, let me explain. If God is everything, and God is everywhere present, then there can't be something else. We have stories, we have legends throughout cultures of an adversarial being that is trying to test us. Well, do we need an outside adversarial being to test us? Can we not create enough trouble for ourselves? Thank you. We don't need a devil. We don't need some fallen angel out there playing, shooting craps with God. Can I say that in church? It's not happening. That means, duh. Now, is there evil? There is the evil that humans do. There is the evil that humans do. And some of us have experienced the evil that humans do. And our great challenge then is to see how we find God, how we identify God, how we embrace God for healing in the midst of that. That's our responsibility. Yes, there's evil in the world. Human beings create it all the time. And aren't we now in the midst of a very uncertain time in our world? In which, powers that appear to be less than God are at work. And our responsibility is to hold on to that peace. Is to hold on to that peace. What was the phrase in the Daily Word today, Jan? I know it's there. Inner peace. Yeah, that one. That one. That Daily Word. And so it's our responsibility to hold to that. So that's an old principle, that there's one presence and one power. And I would even say that if we were to be more accurate with our statement, it's not God the good, omnipotent, because that's an adjective. It's God the good, omnipotence. God is all power. God is all presence. God is all knowing. Not just God is knowledgeable. Not just God is intelligent. God is intelligence. Last night was the last night that my family, my husband and my children, were all going to be at home together for a little while. So I'd written my talk and that one over there. And and we were going to watch some movies. So we watched that Brad Pitt movie called Ad Astra. And I like space movies because, as a child of the space age and going to the moon and everything, I thought we'd be doing more of that stuff by now than we're actually doing. So to watch Brad Pitt go to Neptune was kind of cool. Watching Brad Pitt do pretty much anything is kind of cool. But watching him go to Neptune and... So, when he gets there and he looks at his journey back and it's, 2-point-something billion miles back to Earth, my mind can't even comprehend that. That scope of just our solar system blows my mind. And I have just acquired a very nice set of binoculars that you can mount. They're about this long. They're the big 15 by 70s. They're just magnifying enough that if they were any stronger, I'd need a filter on them to look at the moon. Yeah, they're so exciting. So last night I saw the clouds were all going away. I'm like, yeah. So I went out with my binoculars and I started looking at celestial bodies. And even in Austin with the light pollution, you could see the Pleiades, which is very cool. So there was that. And then right after that, we watched the boys and I watched a little short documentary about these maniacs who helicopter up to the top of the mountains in Alaska and snowboard down, like 80 degrees. Why? I had to quit watching because I had to go to sleep. And this was just like, I went from outer space to about as grounded to the earth as you can be, riding with your feet on a plank down, down huge mountains. And I thought, oh, this is all God. This is all God. All of this is God. It's all so magnificent. And what a disservice we have done to the intelligence of the universe, to the God of all creation, to confine it to a gender or a shape or a characteristic. If you don't keep expanding your idea of God, you're going to miss a lot. And so when you're going through a difficult time, it's God is here. God is here. And God is here, and oh, this is so hard, and God is here. God is in this. God is in this. So a lot of you know what I've gone through in the last couple of weeks. So I had these two last Sundays off, already planned for a little family vacation. And 48 hours before we were to leave for the vacation, my husband had a stroke. And lost some of his vision for a little while and has gotten most of it back, but it was scary, especially because he didn't realize how bad it was and he drove himself to his destination to pick up, ironically, a new pair of glasses. And the eye doctor called me and said, I think your husband's having a stroke right now. I was like, oh my God, you drove a car, you know? And so he was in the hospital overnight, and they did a lot of checking with his heart to see if he was going to, you know, have any more blood clots that would cause more strokes. And so that brought him home on Friday. Saturday was when we were supposed to leave on vacation. So when I was at the emergency room on Thursday, I was canceling his and my part of the trip. And so Saturday, we went ahead and sent the boys. There was no reason for them not to go. And I spent that entire day on Saturday in my pajamas crying. I'm admitting that right here in front of a whole room full of people and all you folks out there. Because I was sad, I was mad, I was scared. I felt like curling up in a ball under the covers was the best thing to do. Because some days you just feel like that. And I still have my mom here on the earth, and I could call my mom and cry. And I could call my friends, and I could get the support that I needed. And I could say, God is in this. Blank, 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 blank. God is in this. And the next day I was better. And New Year's Eve, Bill's heart went into AFib. And so we went to the heart hospital emergency room, and he was, they weren't able to get a good rhythm on him. So they had to do a procedure to fix his heart on January 2nd. And so New Year's Eve was sitting right across from the nurse's station, and midnight came, and I heard the nurses go, oh yeah, Happy New Year. Okay, and they just went on with their charting, you know. God bless them, those angels of mercy, and taking good care of us, taking good care of Bill. So he was in the hospital until a week ago Friday. And he's doing better. He's not well, but he's doing better. And I'm kind of on high alert with him. And it's been exhausting and emotional. And one of the best things that I could do was come teach my class Wednesday night. Because to say the truth out loud, to say the truth out loud, healed me. It always does. And to be with people that I love and who love me healed me. And by extension, I think it healed Bill too. And all of your prayers during all of this lifted all of us up. So if you want me to explain the physics of why prayer from a distance makes a difference, I can't. I just know that it works. And one of the things about knowing that God is everything, everywhere, all the time, all present, is being able to embrace the mystery of why prayer from a distance works, for one thing, of why we have moments of grace in the midst of our difficulties, why we can be in the midst of tears, and your dog or your cat or both can come and just slobber all over you and make you feel better. And if you're lucky, you have a friend that'll do the same thing, you know? Maybe a little less messy, but nevertheless. So I want to thank you all, first of all, for supporting our family and continuing to support our family and continuing to support many in our community who are experiencing difficulties and challenges, and things that appear on the face to be impossible. You know, when people leave our lives, there's a big empty space that they occupied. And it's hard for us to believe that they're not there anymore. And God fills that space. God fills up that space. So, let's see. Do I want to do this? Let me paraphrase Plato. There. Did that throw you a curve just a little bit? One of the greatest philosophers who ever lived on this earth said that the thing is not as important as the idea behind the thing. The idea underneath a thing is the most important part, because it can come into manifestation in a whole lot of ways. Just ask yourselves how many ways the divine idea of love has showed up in your life that maybe wasn't the ideal manifestation. That was kind of a joke. And some of you have been together for a very long time, and the love of your life is still the love of your life. But for some of us, there were some false starts. And, you know, we had to go back to the gate and try it again. And looking for love in all the wrong places deserved its own song. So, but the divine idea of love is underneath all of that. And so as we go through this month, we're going to talk about more of these old principles, but it seemed important today to talk about God and to start dismissing any ideas that we hold that God is something other than everything. Now, when I first came into Unity, I had a whole checklist of things that I was pretty sure were not God. You know, all the bad things. But I would ask you this, my friend. When you look at bad circumstances and hungry children and war-torn regions, it's hard to see God there. It's our job to infuse our compassion and our peace and the work of our hands and our feet wherever we can. But I would ask you this. Do you have any idea what your soul's journey is from start to finish? Do you have any idea? How in the world could we possibly know what someone else's is? Now, if we look at it that way, then the struggles of those that we hold dear, we have to let them have their journey in the way they have their journey. And it's not our job to figure out why, but to figure out how we support with our prayer and with our love and with our compassion. How do we support those? How do we support ourselves, the ones we overlook the most, with compassion? By the way, Abby, I keep catching your eye. I would just like to tell you, that little prairie dog that was up there, it was a prairie dog, wasn't it? Yeah. Those of you not familiar with the wilds of Texas, prairie dogs are about the cutest darn little things you ever saw, unless you're a cattle rancher, and not so cute then. A prairie dog is my very first conscious memory of life, because I lived in Lubbock. When I was born in Midland, moved to Lubbock when we were a baby. When we were a baby. There's just one of me that I know of today. We lived in Lubbock, and I was a toddler, and we went to the prairie dog town. The prairie dog town in Lubbock. And seeing those cute little creatures barking and defending their little burrows and everything, that was the most delightful thing. If I could have my own little prairie dog village, I would just do that. So I never saw one with a microphone and a fedora, but that was a good slide, Sue. That was a very good slide. So thank you for reminding me of my sweet childhood with the prairie dogs. So maybe that's your spirit animal. Oh, pretty sure. Pretty sure. If you know Abby, if you agree, would you just raise your hand? There we go. All right. So if you would ever like to be the one who makes the announcements on a Sunday, maybe Sue can find your spirit animal too. Just wanted to add a little brevity because life has been heavy for me the last few weeks. And you know what was good is I found out how much my children missed me on vacation. Mm-hmm. And they showed me all their pictures before they even put their bags down when they got home. And brought me back little presents. And so they shared with me seeing the Baja Desert in bloom because it had rained. So in the midst of everything that I was going through, my children were experiencing the bloom of the desert, which is a rare and wonderful thing. And therefore, it was my bloom of the desert. Because we are one, my friends, we are one. We are one people. If you forget who God is, if God doesn't feel present in your life, you ask somebody to remind you. Kit did that for me. God's in all of this, she said. And so I just want to say, God is with you all the time. And I want to say, God is with you all the time through all this. And God is with you. And God is with you. And God is with you. And my brother, God is with you. Yes?
Yes.
And everybody I didn't touch, pretend like I did. Okay? Because we are the way that God shows up. In the hospital that day with my husband after his stroke, my friend Judy. Ooh. Judy got word of what was going on, and she lives just a few minutes away from Seton Northwest in Austin. And just at the moment I needed a familiar and friendly face, there was Judy. And just when I needed the words, and Bill needed the words from other people that lifted us up, they came. And even if the words weren't coming, the prayers were, and we felt them. Never think for a moment that your generous and compassionate prayer for another, even if it's just a simple thought, a simple amount of words, makes a difference, because we are God expressing. And we're going to talk about that next week. We are God expressing. We're not perfect at it yet, but we are working on it, aren't we? So now when you leave here today, I can promise you that you're going to have something that happens where you're going to go, God is certainly not in that driver. God is not in that waitress that is not filling up my water glass fast enough. Or you may get a call from somebody where you have to kind of clench your teeth and take a deep breath and then say, hello, because you're God expressing. So let's take a moment to remember it, to get it grounded in us, to let it inhabit us completely, because we sometimes just get so distracted by our thoughts and our feelings that we forget that there is something powerful and eternal and strong and beautiful in us all the time. So if you're not breathing right now, put your hand on your diaphragm and breathe into your hand so you can really feel that breath expand and push out everything else to let God be in everything in you, every cell. And if your heart is aching, put your hand on your heart. It will take your comfort. And if the cedar has hold of you, put your hand on your head. And let God's healing flow from you to you. Beloved, if you leave here with anything today, let it be the conviction and the intention to experience the miracle and the mystery of God everywhere, all the time, as much as you can. And if what you've heard today has begun to dislodge and discomfort some of your old ideas, it's okay. Take it under consideration and let the great intelligence of the universe work in you and reveal to you that which needs to be revealed, that which you're ready to receive. That which maybe puts you in awe and wonder. And how can one, the one, be as expansive as the universe that we cannot even imagine, and yet be the comfort for our tears. That is the mystery we have to embrace. So just for a moment, without my words, just breathe. And give yourself over to that which is already you anyway. Just keep coming back to it. God is here. God is right here. God is always here. God is. God. And so it is.